We are a day away from Reclaim, the conference of all conferences. And as we reclaim, we think, did we lose anything or have we forgotten something? What is there to reclaim? Let's talk about it today. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the spiritual, emotional, physical, and everything in between. This is episode number 508 of The Next Step, and I'm inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our 10th year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Since 2008, these next steps have been taken toward and for the disenfranchised members of the church community, as well as for those searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, as well as for the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Of course it's the church. Yeah, what do you think? I know. In this age of false news, what is that? Fake information, fake news. Yeah. You think I sat around and photoshopped it or somebody photoshopped it? Definitely not me. I don't know all those tricks, but that is not a Photoshop. Oh. We're talking about that picture. I'm sure you've seen it. If you haven't, we'll put it on today's show notes. It's the picture of the church, and in front of it, there is a banner, the Reclaim banner, which proclaims Jesus Christ. Yeah, right there in front of the church, and people aren't believing it. They are not believing that the Armenian church has put up a banner like that. Yeah, what days are we at right now? We are just like we are a day away from Reclaim, and probably I am just feeling a little slap happy because we are just, our nerves are on edge, our energy is gone. We have a small group of people, volunteers, who are putting it together. We got a great program. We got over 200 people that are going to be attending this conference, and this is new. You know, it is groundbreaking. If I do say so myself. Yeah, I know. You've seen conferences all over the place, but not in the Armenian church. And I guess that's what's weird about this banner that's in front of the Armenian church, proclaiming Jesus Christ. Yeah, just by itself, nothing else, just Jesus Christ right there. And it's one thing to proclaim, it's another to live that, isn't it? Well, isn't that what this whole Next Step is about? Isn't that the whole study of armodoxy, of how to make it relevant? You know, how to connect the dots between what Jesus said and our lives today, and understand that, you know, if you're living the Christian life, you don't need anybody, you don't need anything to connect those dots. There was a book back in the 1970s, I think it was 70s. Yeah, it must have been, because I was in college. It was called, If You See the Buddha on the Road, Kill Him. Yeah, that was the name of the book. If you see the Buddha on the road, kill him. I know, okay, now hold up before you think that we were out there just like causing trouble and killing Buddhas and everything. I think it relates to a koan that's out there. And certainly, I know I read it during college. I don't remember the exact contents of it, but I'm able to summarize it. It's basically, you don't need someone to guide you because you already have that nature within you. Tap into that nature and you're able to find the goodness. And so, you know, yeah, if you're living the Christian life, you really don't need someone to connect the dots because you start seeing the dots. And I know you understand this concept because so many of you have shared the idea that there are certain times in your life where there's this heightened awareness where you just wake up and it's just this incredible opportunity to connect. And you see those connections and you actually live those connections. If you see the Buddha on the road, kill him. That's what it's about. It's like, you know, you don't need somebody to take you out of the way to do it. And that's why I think that this conference that we're doing, the Reclaim Conference, is so novel because it offers the people who are participating an opportunity to challenge themselves, to look within. And isn't that really the purpose of all of good education? I want you to just think about this for a moment, okay? I've challenged many people with this question. I'll challenge you. Think about the best teacher, professor that you've had in your life. Were they somebody that just stood in front of you on a blackboard or whiteboard or on a computer screen that put a bunch of information in front of you and said, here you go? That's one type of teaching. That's educating, filling yourself up with information. But who's the real teacher? It's the one that has challenged you, that has brought you closer and said, okay, here's some concepts. Now apply that to your life. Figure it out. Make those connections. I may be the Buddha that's taking you that way, but kill me at some point because you need to make those connections with your life. Those set of circumstances are your own. You see, whenever we give out instruction, it's usually out in this big, we tend to give it out in milk form. Milk is homogenous, right? Milk, when you get it out of the cow, it has all kinds of stuff going on and they add things to it, but they homogenize it, which makes it uniform, that homo. In other words, it's all the same. So you take a little bit of milk from the bottom of the container, top of the container, middle of the container, it's all the same. And we tend to believe that the world, life, is homogenous. No, it isn't. We all come into life with our own set of circumstances. Now, you can say that this is a problem, as many people do say that, right? Or you can say that that is a beauty, that is the wonder of life, and it's an opportunity for us to interact. But to interact, we first need to know ourselves. And so this conference that we're doing called Reclaim, I've put together some incredible people, and I'm going to go through them in a few minutes. But each of those people stimulates, invites you to start thinking, to push yourself to new limits. I mean, I'm giving the keynote address tomorrow night, and really, I'll be talking a little bit about this, but more I'll be talking about really how to reclaim something that we've forgotten. And I want to use that word forgotten and not the word lost. See, we haven't lost it. It's still there. It's just that we've forgotten it. We've misplaced it. We need to get back there and reclaim it. And so this picture in front of the church of a sign that says Jesus Christ looks odd. It looks odd for a lot of reasons because you're not used to seeing Jesus Christ, that word, in front of the Armenian church. Used to seeing all kinds of things, people that point to it. You're used to seeing different symbols, but the word Jesus Christ. Until you start looking deep, and you start looking deep into it, and you start realizing that all of your heroes were not about themselves, but they were about Jesus Christ. Beginning with St. Gregory the Illuminator, who came out of the pit to make Armenia the first Christian nation. It because of Jesus Christ, beginning with St. Thaddeus and Bartholomew, who were apostles of Jesus Christ, going to St. Vartan, who fought and upheld his faith in what? In Jesus Christ. Shnorhali, Datebatsi. And so all of a sudden you see all these people throughout the centuries who have talked about Jesus Christ, but somehow we've forgotten that they have done this. And in forgetting that, what happens? We've put it aside. It's not lost. We've put it aside. There's a story that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I got to remember to always emphasize, because he emphasized the Reverend in his name. There's a story that he tells. It's about reclaiming something that we've forgotten. And in so telling the story, now he uses it in a different capacity to reclaim something else, but about the morals and where we are as a society, but very appropriate for today too. But what he talks about is the story that we find in the Gospels. about this group of people traveling. And Joseph and Mary are part of that group, and they are traveling. And they've been part of this group that's gone to Jerusalem from Nazareth, and in those times they would travel together in large groups and caravans, and they go about a day's journey when they realize that Jesus is not with them. We're told, according to Scripture, that Jesus is 12 years old. And so this 12-year-old kid is not with them. Well, it's not that they were bad parents. It was the way they traveled. You know, the parents would travel in one group. The kids would travel in another group. And so all of a sudden, the day is ending, and they realize Jesus is not with them. They turn back and go back to Jerusalem. And Dr. King emphasizes that turning back, how important it is to turn back. To go back and find Jesus there. And there he is in the temple teaching. And he says, "Why are you looking for me? Didn't you know that I would be in my Father's house?" Now, many ways, of course, to look at that story. What Dr. King does is he talks about that turning back to reclaim something that not we have lost, but has always been there. But we're not seeing. We're not seeing that there. We've forgotten that that's what it's about. And so there's this sign in front of the Armenian church that says Jesus Christ. People look at it and say, "Wow, that's odd. You know, isn't the church supposed to have pictures of crosses, pomegranates about what's coming up? Easter's coming up. Lilies. Should we put some lilies up there?" And you know, before Easter, we have this period of Lent. We have the Holy Week and the service of Chavarum, where we read the seven Gospels. We have to pass out string so that people can make knots out of them. Am I losing you here? Maybe. But some of you who have been brought up in the church know what I'm talking about, okay? 40 days after Easter, we have Ascension, and rather than celebrate Jesus ascending to heaven, we will remember Vijag, that comes to us from the poem Anush. Hovhannes Tumanyan remembered that. Vijag, we will pull our fortunes, and we select our fortunes, much like Chinese fortune cookies, yeah. Which one do you get? Yeah, I know you're laughing over there. I couldn't make this up. It's true. On Ascension Day, that's what they do. Well, just like a few weeks ago was Dhyarantaraj presentation. We made these nice fires. We jumped over them. Fertility rites of the coming spring at midwinter, right? Midwinter. Candlemas. We have Groundhog's Day, Candlemas, midwinter. How many weeks left for winter? The groundhog comes up and he tells, listen to this. You're not believing this, but it's right there, right? The groundhog comes up and they tell you that there's 6 more weeks of cold, 6 more weeks of good weather, depending on him seeing his shadow. Punxsutawney Phil. Yes, he is. Don't look at me like that. Yes, he is gender specific. Okay. It is a he. The groundhog comes up, sees his shadow, doesn't see it, depends how many more weeks. Well, these are all little rituals that they do. Why? Because coming up is spring. The sun is blooming. Fertility. Newness of life. Easter. It is resurrection. The new times are coming in front of us. Well, in the same way. They had these in Armenian tradition in Candlemas or Dhyarantaraj. They made the big flames and they would jump over it. Not anybody but newlyweds would jump over in a fertility rite so that they would be prosperous and they would bring new life. They would bring new children. Newlyweds would jump over that fire. Okay, it's all part of the ritual. And people need rituals. People need that order. Joseph Campbell has been probably the most pronounced person to talk about the need for these myths and rituals in our lives. We'll go up a little bit further, and you've got Transfiguration, which is celebrated by dousing people with water, because they remember an old ritual from old times. You've got St. Mary's Feast, which is remembered by blessing grapes. The Feast of Holy Cross, which is blessed, which is remembered with the blessing of Ron, with basil. And then you've got Christmas. And Christmas, not only do we bless the water, but now from the top, instruction has come that we have to add one more blessing, the blessing of pomegranates. The blessing of pomegranates. Yeah, these are important. Now, all these things are what? They should be pointers to Jesus Christ, but they're not. They've become rituals in and of themselves. They become rituals and standards in and of themselves. In other words, I am going out there to do this ritual. Not because that ritual leads me to Christ. Most pronounced in this is element in our community on Christmas. They greet one another by saying, Shnoravor Chirortnek. In other words, congratulations on the water blessing. Without making the connection that that water blessing is about someone who gave us that water, right? That spiritual water. When I talk about armodoxy, it's to strip off all of this hoopla. The hoopla, the myths and rituals that should be pointers to Christ have now become institutions in and of themselves. Okay, so let's strip them down. Let's see what's at the bottom of it. And unfortunately, if you don't do this properly, it becomes an onion mentality. You start stripping it and you start opening, and then in the middle there's nothing. What is that case? That's the case where that word Jesus Christ has been only words. It's only been on a banner, so it doesn't mean anything. And so I'm very cautious in saying this, that yes, there is a picture, that there is a banner in front of the cathedral, in front of the Armenian church dome that says Jesus Christ. But what good is that name if we are not putting it into action? You need to put that Jesus Christ, you need to connect the dot with your life right now and make it work in your life right now. That's what I'm going to talk about the second portion of today's show. I'm going to share with you some stories of some people that are doing that right now and share what they're talking about as a prelude to Reclaim. It's coming up. Starts tomorrow. We're breathing, thinking, doing everything Reclaim these days. And I need to share that with you, my Next Step listeners. So right now we're going to do the song of the day, which we do every week. Song of the week, actually, right? Isn't it? I've been saying song of the day, I think, for eons. It's song of the week. Anyway, we are doing a song today. We always pick out something that has something special and meaningful for that particular week. I'm picking out a song that is played on the oud. It is by Antronik Kazirian. And this album, my son Varujan and daughter-in-law Lauren went to meet with him and hear him talk about music, Armenian music, and the oud in particular. They heard him play, and they got dear old dad this CD. So I want to share that with you. Play a song or two. Let's start off with a song. It is a natural in there that there is a Armenian church hymn in there called Dervorm. Yeah? And if you don't mind, I'm going to pass on playing that today, because I think there might be appropriate times in the future when we can share that, because this has been just a beautiful, beautiful album. I've been listening to it ever since they gave it to me, and I want to share a song with you. So here you go. Antronik Kazirian, the album, The Oud Player. love and longing melody. Oh, do you like that? Do we know how to do romance right? The Love and Longing Melody, name of that song. It is off of an album called The Oud Player by Antranik Kazirian. And I selected it because you got a chance to hear him at his best. A combination of not only techniques, but different time signatures, tempos, all kinds of stuff in that song. I hope you enjoyed it. I've been enjoying the entire album, and we'll have a link on today's show notes so you could check out the album. You can get a copy for yourself and do support this artist whenever we play beautiful music. That's one request I have of you. It's like, let's support these artists. They are so good. And like I said, last week, Varjan and Lauren picked up a copy for me, and they heard him play and talk a little bit about the instrument, about the music, and just said some beautiful things about it. So do check it out. There'll be a link on today's show notes. Antranik Kazirian, the Oud Player. Well, we are a day away from Reclaim. It is a conference that we are organizing here in Burbank. It's the second annual. It's 2018 already, huh? We started in 2017. And it started off with a little dream of trying to reclaim something that not is lost, but something that has been forgotten about what the church is all about. What the power of that church is as Christ's body. And we attempted that last year by planting some seeds. And probably they need to be, there has to be a little bit more patience. Here it is the second year. We've got a great group of people coming, but it has had its moments in trying to get people together. And you realize that the audience is just not accustomed to this. This is just as strange as that banner, Jesus Christ in front of the church is. So is the concept of conferences, places where you go to share, to learn, to be able to gather your thoughts. You know, this whole period of Lent, that's what this Lenten period is about. It's a time, it's not just about diet, it's a time where you look within. You inspect, you start asking those questions that are important to ask. What's it about? What's your life about? What is necessary for your life? I mean, when we get to dietary restrictions, isn't that what it's about? What is necessary to live? The question that Jesus asks when he's been tempted after being hungry. Change these stones into bread. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that is uttered from the mouth of God. Think about it for a moment. What is necessary in your life? And so we have this Reclaim conference to do exactly that, to push us to a point where we start talking, where we start discussing. And I want to share with you a few of the people that are on that list. Actually, I'll try to go through it as much as I can, because I know for many of you, this would be something that you would love to come to. And unfortunately, there is a reality of being on the other side of this planet. As much as we want to say it's a small world, it's still very difficult to get to places. I was hoping that this May we'd be out in Armenia, and the realities are that, you know, it's difficult. It's not as easy as you think it is, even though we say it is a small planet. It's a small world. So too with this Reclaim conference. Yeah, it's easy. Come to Los Angeles, but it's setting up that priority and making that happen. Susan and I were going through the diocese the other day, and we ran across this guy who came up to us and said, "Oh, I heard about your conference. Really wanted to come to it." I said, "Oh, how are you doing?" He says, "Well, I haven't been doing well." My wife hasn't been feeling well, but, you know, what am I going to do? He says, I'm here, you know, a couple times a week for these meetings, but my wife's been in and out of the hospital, and that's why I can't come to the conference. Did you catch that? Did you catch that, or are we just being too critical? We caught it, right? He's been there for meetings, but can't make the conference. Well, those meetings are important, right? That's a priority. That's a priority for him. May not be for me, may not be for you, but it's a priority for him. And everyone has a priority in life that they have to be faithful to. And for him, these meetings are important. And God bless those meetings. You know, you want to get things done, you have meetings. More and more meetings. And then at the end of the day, you look at the report. What did you do at those meetings? Okay, that's a story for another podcast, ones that we have talked in the past. But I'm going to share with you what's going on at this Reclaim. My keynote address tomorrow evening is going to be called The God Generation. And I'm going to leave it at that because I'm going to share it with you next week. Those of you who have been listening to Next Step know what I'm talking about. The God Generation. There is a generation that is the God Generation. But I want to share that with the attendees tomorrow night. And I'll share it with you next week. Definitely I will. Okay, there's going to be a lot to talk about next week. But for right now, I want to share with you some of the people that are going to be here. We'll start off with Isabella Bayraktaryan. You've heard me play her music, talk about her music, just this love that she has for church music. I want to just tell you that she's not only a singer, not only prominent opera singer, not only a professor at UC Santa Barbara, professor of music, but are you ready for this? Her degree, doctorate in biomedical engineering. Yes, you heard me right. Biomedical engineering. And this sweet voice comes out of this biomedical engineer. You see what happens to our heads? We hear these big words, biomedical. What do you think? What do you do that association, right? Just like a Rorschach, but for the word biomedical. There it is. Anyway, her voice is something that, you know, what is that? Bocelli, what do they call him? The voice of God when he sings. I put Isabel in that category too. When you hear her, I mean, shivers go down your spine. You get the goosebumps. And she sings the hymns of the Armenian Church. And when she does sing them, you know that she believes them. Okay? Listen to me, okay? This is not a judgment call, but it's just a very practical thing. There are many people who could sing the notes. And, you know, as a student in Soviet times, I was a student in Armenia, and we used to be at the monastery, and we'd hear a lot of people who would sing the hymns as musical pieces. In fact, a lot of times when you hear Gomidas, the beauty of Gomidas is lost many times because people do not make that connection. That Gomidas was a Vartabed. He was a priest of the Church of Jesus Christ, right? He was a believer. He hung out at the divine liturgies on Sunday mornings. And so you listen to people who believe, their rendition of the songs are quite different from people who don't believe. And Isabel is one of those people who brings in her faith. And it's obvious she's been inspired. When I asked her to come and speak, she was so happy because she said she wanted to speak about it. This is not a concert. She's not going to be getting up and giving a concert. She's going to be speaking about how that inspiration, how the Holy Spirit moves her to sing what she sings. So she's one of the main speakers. And the other one is Michael Gourgin. Now, Michael Gourgin is one of those exceptional talents that often get overlooked because a lot of his work was in front of the camera several years ago, but now it's behind the camera as well. And on top of that, he recently published a new book called What Lies Beyond the Stars. And there's going to be a part two coming up, from what I understand, this year. I have been reading this book for the last week. Oh, man, is it good. Is it good? I mean, you're talking about those concepts that we talk about here on The Next Step. In fact, at one point, as I was reading through this, I go, this guy is me. This guy has gone through the same things that I've gone through. Well, of course, yes. In a couple ways, we've gone through the same things. We're both from the Bay Area, and so we understand those scenes that he describes in the book as being native scenes. In other words, we've been there. But we also ancestrally share a common, I would say, great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather. Yeah, four or five generations out there. Our grandparents, my grandmother, his grandfather were first cousins. So you do the math, whatever it is. And I'm so excited, proud, in fact, that he's going to be at this conference. He's going to be talking about creativity and the artistic process. Now, here is somebody who understands that. Why? Because he's been there. He's been on the forefront. He's won Emmy Awards for his portrayal in David's Mother. He's been on shows like Party of Five. And I remember him on a show that didn't show up in his credits as he shared it with us, but it was one called Life Goes On. I remember him coming in as the boyfriend of one of the girls in that show. I got to ask him about that. When I see him, I got to ask him why that didn't show up on his resume that we printed. By the way, I will definitely make a note. We will put a link on today's show notes to the program for Reclaim, okay? So you could read about these people, and do go to our website, embracing-faith.com, and read more about these people that I'm talking about. So Michael Gurdjian's going to be there. He's going to be one of the speakers. Then we have Maštos Čobanjan. Now, Maštos is one of those exceptional men who is able to transmit the scriptures to people. Not just articles of faith, but actual scriptures. And he has Bible studies that are all over the place. We'll definitely put a link on today's show notes because he has a lot of Bible studies that are right on the net. And I invite you to connect into those. Most of them, I don't want to say all, but I believe it's all. Most of them are in the Armenian language. But do check him out if you do speak Armenian. He's somebody who connects the dots with scriptures and our lives today and living that holy life. That sacred life. Now, of the priests that we have Father Sarkis Petoyan. He is the priest at St. Gregory Pasadena. He used to be up in San Francisco, a wonderful young man, a young priest who spreads the goodness of the gospel in all that he does. He's going to be talking about the allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. By the way, the entire conference is around the Holy Spirit, around the idea of exploring and celebrating the creative spirit. That Holy Spirit is the creative spirit, okay? So he's going to be talking about how that works through us. Now, Father Krikor Zakharyan, another one of the priests that's going to be speaking, this young priest has claimed the hearts of so many of the young people. The young people just love this priest, the way he speaks, the way he reaches out to them. He is the priest at St. Garabed Armenian Church in Rancho Mirage. Okay, you do the figuring out. You probably know this area by a different name. It's called Palm Springs. Yeah, it's close to Palm Springs, Rancho Mirage, a beautiful church out there, St. Garabed. He's going to be talking about witnessing to that creative energy by seeing how the Holy Spirit works through the Holy Church. Important discussion, right? Because we always wonder, do we need that church? He'll be talking about that. Father Mesrop Ash, one of the youngest priests that we have at the conference, he will be talking about why your life is too complicated. Oh, man, do we all know that? Do we all know what he's talking about? Complications of life? He's going to be talking about simplicity and intentionality. Now, when you look at the complications of life, I mean, any one of us could be a poster child for that, right? So looking forward to that talk. Now, part of this entire process of Reclaim also has to do with us being awake to receive this information. Melina Sardar, she's a professional life coach. She's going to be talking about igniting your spiritual passion. Each of us comes to the table with our own passions. Now think about what we said a few minutes ago about for each of us, we have different ways of approaching life. We are not in a homogeneous mixture. You take us and you look at us and we come in all different shapes and sizes. How do you ignite the passion that's inside of you? We're going to have a spiritual dance, and my dear friend, a very, very dear friend, Rhonda Berkeley, she has been a dancer for many years with the Amon Group, and international dancer, and I've asked her to come and move us into proclaiming a spiritual dance. Organizing a spiritual dance. You remember last year we had our dear friend Shake come out from the United Kingdom and she shared that concept of spiritual dancing. Rhonda's been doing it for several years. I've asked her to join us for tomorrow evening. Mardiros Dakhesyan. Now Mardiros Dakhesyan is an attorney, but he is an attorney of special quality. An attorney who listens to the next step and is really one of my, I consider a close friend too. He's been on the board with me as we've served together in churches. He's got a wonderful young family, and he's going to be talking about purpose and passion, how our faith gives our work meaning. Now, I could talk to you about that, and you'll say, okay, he's a priest talking, but how does it when somebody who is right from the workforce, an attorney, not just an ordinary attorney, somebody who is at the top of his field, talks to you about how your faith is giving purpose and meaning to your work? We have Sophia Armin. Now, Sophia is a scholar and an activist. To me, I'm very proud of this young girl. I used to go talk for her. She'd call me to talk to her high school classes. And now that she is going after her doctorate, the other day, as we were preparing for this reclaim, I noticed that she had posted something, outspoken, very, very outspoken young lady. She had posted something about reclaiming the Christian narrative. And I called her up. I said, hey, those are the buzzwords, reclaiming Christian narrative. Can you be a speaker? She did not refuse me. She's going to be talking about race, hope, and the Armenian fight. Wow, did I tell you this is like a unique, unique event? Where else do you get this mixture of people? We have Gail Chaleblian. She is the chair of the Christian Education Council. Now, this in stature, she's a small, tiny little girl, but she moves mountains. And I wanted someone like that there so people could see the possibilities. What a little bit of faith can move those mountains. She'll be talking about spiritual parenting, myself and others. Now, Yvette Hovsepian-Bierce, Dr. Yvette Hovsepian-Bierce, you know her. I've done an interview with her on The Next Step. We've prayed for her. I've given you small little updates here and there about her travels throughout Germany, working with the Syrian refugee community. She's very, very pronounced about the other, about helping, about expressing Christ's love in all that we do. She's going to be speaking about the Syrian refugee crisis, the outreach, but also talking about what we need to do, what I need to do to help others. What is my responsibility in that case? Now we have Sevak Derderian, and now he is one that, I got to be honest, I haven't heard him speak, but I hear he's wonderful things about him. He is there ex officio. In other words, he's there because of his position as the Armenian Church Choir Organization's chairman. It's got an acronym AACCWD, and we'll look forward to hearing him talk about Armenian hymns and how they play into our spirituality. Got a businessman, Aram Kavukjan, and when you think of businessmen, you think of old guys, right? I don't know, I do. Think of businessmen. We don't call them businessmen. We usually refer to them by their titles, but this guy is really a businessman. He is just remarkable, and he's young. He's exciting. He's vibrant. I had a chance to spend a few days with him, actually, last year when we went out to Minnesota and then to Armenia, part of the Starkey Project, where we went out there and we worked with the hearing impaired. Just a brilliant young man. A brilliant young man who brings his enthusiasm to the table. He'll be talking about the creativity is making the wheels turn around. Now we have Haig Madoyan. This man really impresses me because here is a guy who has gotten his Master of Divinity from the University of Yerevan. He teaches Bible study at the diocese. He is the curator of the museum, librarian, and just a remarkable young man. He'll be also speaking at the conference. Now, with that, we also have a couple exceptional things that we're doing at the conference. One of them is the virtual reality room. And the reason why you're having this at the conference, you're saying, wait a minute, wait, what? What virtual reality at the Reclaim Celebrating Creative Spirit? Yes! This is how we began, actually. It was last year sometime. I was visiting these two young men. They're from my parish in Glendale when I was the priest at St. Peter Church. I got to see them as they grew up and their family, wonderful, wonderful family of faith. And I was taken to their place of business. I asked, what do they do? And told me a virtual reality. I went and saw it. And my brain just stopped. I was just looking at it and I couldn't believe how wild this was. You actually believe you are somewhere else. Virtual reality. And that's what really gave the push for us to start this conference, exploring and celebrating the creative spirit. And so they're going to have a room where people will get to walk in there and experience virtual reality. Finally, the other unique thing that we're doing is we've reinstituted the idea of private confession. And we have two priests. One is Father Hartun Tashjian, and one is Father Seropé Alanjan. Both people that I highly respect are going to be putting into the upper chambers of the cathedral. We're making into the upper chamber into what it should be, right? A booth of confession. Confession areas where people can go in and share with these priests their pains, their difficulties, and find the relief that only comes from Christ. So this we resurrected last year, and it was very, very popular. In fact, one of the priests that did it last year, that was the father confessor in this thing. He said, the only thing that I wish we had in that room was more Kleenex. And he says, you can't believe how many people just broke down. They were carrying so much of the burden with them. And they broke down and they relieved themselves in tears. They relieved themselves in forgiveness, tears of forgiveness. Anyway, that's in a nutshell what Reclaim is all about. Turning back and finding not what we've lost, but reclaiming something we've forgotten, a faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk to you more about it next week from the other side of Reclaim after we've done it. But I wanted to give you this as a prelude because I do need your prayers. We're going into some difficult times the next few days. There's going to be a lot of people, a lot of excitement about Reclaim. And I do want your prayers to be with us as we do this. Right now, here's Susie to tell you how you can get involved with our ministry virtually, remotely, from a far distance. I shall tell you all about it.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 10th year of producing shows, which are heard around 6 continents. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Well, thank you very much, Susie. And how about if I just leave it at that, okay? Let Susie have her word on this, okay? We're going to miss her. She's going away. She's going away for a couple weeks. So we're going to be trying to pull together the next step for a couple weeks. So let her words now just like simmer a bit, okay? We know what the routine is, right? So just listen and I'll just leave it at that, okay? You know what the routine is. You know what we do. You know how to get involved with us. We appreciate your prayers and your support for this ministry. You can find us at all the usual places, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can get in touch with us at the mothership at inissues.org. Drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net. And by the way, if you're on Facebook, do check me out because Susie's been resurrecting the Lenten journey. And I've been posting them every day during this Lenten season. I'm really surprised that we did something like that several years ago. It's kind of fun to watch it, to listen to it. Anyway, do check that out. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Vazquez inviting you to join us again next week on the other side of Reclaim as we take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off, but I'm top limits.